The peace of Christ be with you. Hey, greet each other before you sit down with the peace of Christ. Greet those around you. Greet. Peace of Christ. All right, all right. Peace out. Let's give a little love to the gospel choir, shall we, for leading us tonight. Well done. I don't know if you saw me, I have my little tambourine on the side there, which is a little dangerous because I have no rhythm at all. But I got a joyful noise. Friendship, friends. It's one of the great gifts of life. Friends call each other by name. Friends pray for friends. Friends inspire the faith in each other. And here's another lesson for tonight. Friends, Christian friends, share the same mind. Listen to this from the book that we love, from Paul's letters to his friends at Philippi, beginning in chapter 2, verses 1. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, then make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, sharing the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others, and let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's an iconic text. Some say it was not Paul who wrote it at all, but was first inspired by a poem, or rather a hymn, that he and his friends would have known and would have sung together before coming to the table of Christ. This makes sense. There are some things, like love and beauty and friendship and truth, that can only be fully expressed, if expressed at all, in poetry pressed into singing. There is a truth so deep it can only be inspired by a music heard so deeply that it can be hardly heard at all. This poetry, this hymn in Philippians is one of those pieces of music for the church. Paul is singing in prison a new song. He is singing a song inspired by a truth whose depths cannot be plumbed nor at the height of its vision scaled. Paul is singing with his friends a song that is more like a declaration of faith, a confession of the deepest structures of reality, a reality that if we don't sing, if we don't proclaim, if we do not confess, the rocks will cry out. And that's why when I hear this Christ hymn in Philippians 2, a hymn that inspires within me both a vision and an ache, Paul sings of a truth that inspires a vision I ache for me and for you and for all at Hope College and whoever comes within its circumference. It is a vision of a reality I can see so clearly that it hurts. It is a vision so beautiful it haunts my waking life. It is a vision that cannot be brought into existence through coercion, nor programmed, nor graded through a curriculum. It is a reality that can only be received as a gift, as a grace, a gift that is sent out to the whole waking world like an invitation to explore the wide open country where the streets have no name, but where every street leads to a king whose reign reaches everywhere and everyone at all times. It is a vision of a new world, a reality that defines our reality, where our humanity, yours and mine, is relocated, renewed, and redeemed in the one who was found in human form, but in whose humility he embraced an obedience that led to death, even death on a cross. It is this vision of Christ that inspires a vision I see for Hope College. We sometimes call it the Hope Way, and you are invited to join. The Hope Way is a vision inspired by a new reality that invites every corner of our campus to participate, a vision where people share a joy so deep it can only be expressed in songs that erupt in worship. A vision where all people, everywhere, all the time, experience a unique kind of friendship full of dignity and honor and love. A vision where each looks not only to their own interests, but also to the interests of another. It is a vision where every dorm and college, where every athlete and every scholar, every fraternity and sorority, where odd and even senior and freshmen share one mind, where faculty and administration, students and staff conspire and imagine with one mind. A mind where our identity is not our own, but belongs body and soul in life and in death to the one whose name inspires all of us to kneel in worship and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is a vision of a resurrected king whose new kingdom is before us. And it is a vision we are invited into. It is the Hope Way, the way of Jesus, for it begins and continues to be inspired by Christ's own thought and action, by his very mind. The Hope Way is inspired by Paul's invitation to his friends to make his joy complete. The invitation is framed as an upside-down question that becomes a declaration. Paul writes in the beginning of chapter 2, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation in love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy. The question, though, isn't really a question, it's a declaration. Of course there is encouragement of Christ. Of course there is sharing in Christ's sympathy. Of course there is sharing his mind. Then make my joy complete. Be of the same love. Be of the same mind. Look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others, says Paul. The hallmark of Christian friendship is sharing this mind of Christ. This is where a new life, a new community, a new reality begins. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Have you ever had a friend that with a glance you can read their thoughts? Have you been so in tune with someone that it's like you can communicate without speaking a word? My beloved Kristen knows me so well, she can often, much to my joy, finish my sentences. I can walk into a room and she can take my temperature. She knows my mind. This is what Paul is calling his friends to experience in Christ. Be so intimate with Jesus. Be so united as a body of believers that you can actually share one mind. Sharing one mind comes with time and attention and being familiar with one another. Now, how is this possible? Jesus shares his mind, his actual mind, with us when we attend to him, when we are immersed in him, when we study him, when we worship him, when we follow and obey him. Friends, have you ever been immersed in a movie where you can actually finish the lines? Let's try. Fill in the blank. This side fill in the blank, and this side say the movie, okay? Luke, I am your... And the movie is... No, Tommy Boy. All right, here we go. It's not personal, it's... Thank you. Movie? Wow. cinematic snobs, I can tell. The Godfather, come on. Probably, maybe you shouldn't be hearing that from the dean of the chapel. You had me at? Thank you. Is this heaven? No, it's? There we go. There we go. You can't handle the? Thank you. I'll be? Terminator. Right. We're so familiar with movies that we can kind of fill in the blanks. We can fill in the lines, right? Well, this is how Paul is calling us to be with Christ, that we can fill in the lines. We know Scripture so well. We're immersed in the Word so much that we can fill in the line. We know what comes next. That would be beautiful, would it not, if we were that immersed in the mind of Christ, in God's Word. Be so familiar, you can fill in the blank. This semester, I want to offer a challenge to you. I'm memorizing, as I preach through the Philippians, I'm memorizing the book of Philippians. And anyone who joins in memorizing this book with me, all the way from chapter 1, all the way through chapter 4, four small chapters, I'm buying a steak dinner. If anyone would like to share the mind of Christ with me by getting immersed in the book of Philippians. Now, I've done the math. If all of you did this, it would cost me a lot of money. But I invite you to do it. I'm willing to pay that dime if you memorize this with me. Because I believe that if we got that word so in us that we could fill in the blank, just like we do with our movies, it would transform us. It would be more than transforming. It would ignite us. It would fill us with light, and we would erupt in joy and songs. Now, here's a question. What are the signs or the marks of sharing the mind of Christ? How is it that we know or can recognize that we actually share Christ's mind day to day? I want to name three marks I think Paul is suggesting to us in this scripture. I think we know we have one mind in how we conspire and how we define our identity and in how and what we worship. First, a sign that we are experiencing the one mind of Christ is in how we conspire. I like using that word, conspire. It sounds so devious, a bit subversive, and it is. Sharing the mind of Christ is visibly experienced in how we conspire each other's best, meaning we imagine new possibilities for each other. Listen again. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you, you and me, look not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. This is a sign of a one mind when we look not to our own interests, but to the interests of others. When we strategize or when we imagine on behalf of another and live out of that strategy, out of that imagining. When we conspire our friends, our families, our neighbors, or our professors best, one mind means not thinking we are the only ones in our universe. It means not getting lost or absorbed in ourselves. But we are constantly looking for ways, strategizing ways, to bless another person. Do you have a friend like this? One who conspires your best day to day? Maybe a more important question is to ask this. Are you a friend like this? Last Wednesday, coming back from chapel, I ran into Morgan on the sidewalk between Lubbers and Durfee. And I asked, "Oh, how's your day?" And she answered, "This is the best Wednesday ever of my entire life." "Whoa," I said. "That's a big statement." "Yeah, it is," she said. "Why is this the best Wednesday ever of your entire life?" I asked. And she said something interesting. She said, "My roommate got up this morning and brought me back coffee from LaMangelo's so that when I woke up, I had a hot cup of coffee waiting for me. Nice. A friend conspired another friend's best. Coffee from LJ's made it the best Wednesday ever of her entire life. I mean, I wonder what she did for lunch. I mean, but just think, a small little act like a cup of coffee. This is a friend that got up in the morning and said, I'm gonna bless my friend. I'm gonna strategize. I know that she loves coffee, but not just any coffee, coffee from LaMangelo's. It's the best coffee ever. And if she has it, it'll make her life grand. It was the best Wednesday of her life, she said. I love that. This was a friend who conspired her friend's best, which is what happens, I think, when we share the mind of Christ. Imagine what it would be like to look after the interests not of yourself, but of those sitting next to you. Imagine imagining conspiring someone's best. Imagine that was our daily ambition as a community. I think it would be beautiful. And I can see it, and it makes me ache. It would be a sign, and it is a sign when we do it, of sharing one mind. One of the main reasons people object to Christianity is not because of Christ, nor his teachings, or the radical statements, but it seems like his followers sometimes are more about promoting themselves and their agendas than conspiring ways to bless another. But the Hope Way, the way of Jesus, is always recognizing that we are not the center of attention, that our agenda is not the agenda of everyone else, and that our job is to find ways to love them with all that we have. I think that sharing one mind means understanding that no one is better than another person, that we are all heirs of grace, of a mercy so overwhelming that it inspires new ambitions for friendship. It inspires us to conspire each other's best. Now, second, this conspiracy of friendship flows out of a reality that gives us a new identity. The sign that we have one mind, a mark of having one mind, means that our primary way of understanding who we are is founded in Christ. In verse 1, Paul writes this, "If there is any encouragement in Christ," if there is any sharing in Christ's love, then make my joy complete. Paul understands that identity precedes activity. If we know who we are, we know what to do. Our conspiracy of friendship is a consequence of being first united in Christ. There can be a danger sometimes when we talk about sharing the mind of Christ. And that danger comes along when the language of one mind is used as a kind of coded ethic. This happens when we turn the living Jesus into a model, an ethic, a lesson, and that once we get that model or ethic or lesson, we don't need Jesus himself anymore. When this happens, Christianity becomes a program or a ritual, not an experience of revelation of the living God. The invitation to share one mind is about sharing the living mind of Jesus. Jesus is not only the way as an ethic. Jesus is also our destination. Sharing one mind in Christ is not a call simply to be like Christ, but to be in Christ. One is a new ethic. The other is a declaration of a new identity. One asks for admiration. The other asks for discipleship. When we reduce Jesus into an ethic, Christianity quietly morphs into a species of unbelief, a form of religion without the power. We seek justice, but without Jesus. We get a cross, but without a Christ. We have an egg, but there is no hope to satisfy it. One mind is to share Christ's mind, which is to say, to share a new identity. When we understand that our life is not our own, that is when we begin sharing the one mind of Christ. And when we share the one mind of Christ, it leads to a third mark. It leads to a life of worship that unites us all together as one people, at all times, at all places, everywhere around the world. Listen to what Paul says. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Christ Jesus is Lord for the glory of God our Father. This is a call to worship. This is prose pressed into poetry so that we can sing the songs of faith. The consequence of our new identity is not merely the ability to imagine another's best. It is the ability to worship in spirit and in truth. The consequence of a new identity in Christ is a new life of worship. And it is in that worship that we experience a profound unity, where all of our differences and all of our particularities are honored while at the same time unified in a new harmony, like a thousand different voices that harmonize together in doxology to sing an amen. This unity in worship reimagines our possibilities. It calls us to be a people who collaborate rather than to compete, who promote and protect each other's reputations instead of tearing them down. It explores and seeks to understand our differences rather than hiding from that. And it all takes place and is inspired in a unity in Christ, a unity that is experienced tangibly, emotionally, intellectually in worship. Tonight, these flags, walked in by people of hope, are not just symbols of our collective diversity. In Christ's sanctuary, these flags are a symbol of a new kind of unity. It is a symbol that God's grace and reconciliation that happened once for all on the cross, that the mind of Christ is not limited by any border. It reminds us that all of us, through the miracle of Christ's grace, can be made one. That though we come from different places around the world, that when our identity is firmly rooted as a foundation in Christ, we share one Lord, one baptism, one hope, one mind. This unity of one mind is experienced each week in worship, not only when we sing the doxologies, amen, together, but when we come to eat at Christ's table of grace. The consequence of friends sharing the same mind leads to a new unity of fellowship. And that fellowship is celebrated when friends eat with friends. This new identity, this new unity, is accomplished only in and through Christ. Here we celebrate not only what God did, but what God is doing now and will continue to do in Christ and in Christ's body here at Hope College and around the world. God is making a new people. God is bringing restoration and justice. Here we remember who we are and whose we are. People will often ask me, what is my favorite part of being Dean of the Chapel at Hope College? And I have many possible answers to that because I have many joys. But two things I always say. One is you. I love what I get to do because of you, because we have the best student body in all the world. Yeah, amen, yeah. But here's the other answer I have. That may be a little hubris for that Christ poem, I don't know. But here's the other answer I have is I love communion. For every week when we gather at this table, I see and experience both a vision and an ache. I see a vision of Hope College living into the reality of a new identity in Christ. A reality where all people's best is conspired by the living God. Every week when we come to this table, I see a new vision of Hope's reality where we share one mind, where administration and faculty, where staff and students, and all of our differences and diversity come together at one place. And seeing this reality makes me ache with joy. It is a joy that is global. And it is shared with saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. It is a joy that can't be contained or controlled by a border or a policy. It is a joy that overflows, making me and us erupt in song. It is a joy that makes me believe all over again that in Christ, things can be different. I can be different, and you can be different, and this college can be different. That in Christ, we are worthy of the name Hope. And so tonight, as we come to the table, may you come in joy, knowing that we have a God that conspires our best, and this God's best is our salvation. To that end, my friends, would you pray with me? We thank you, God, that you have given us a table where we are relocated, where we are renamed, where we are renewed. We pray that your table tonight may be to us a joyful sign of your conspiracy, of your strategy to make all things new. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. Friends, would you stand with me?